Welcome to the Talk with Tori podcast. I'm your host, Tori Jones, and I'm so glad that you're here. It's time to have some fun. On each episode, I will chat with a friend and we will share random life topics, tips and tricks, fun stories, and more serious stories filled with some real talk to make you laugh, maybe cry, make you think, but most of all, bring a smile to your face. We all have a story to share, so I hope you enjoyed this one. So grab your favorite Starbucks, a glass of wine, water, I don't care, you do you, girl, because it's time to peel back the layers and add a little spice to it. We're live, girl.
Woohoo!
We are live. Okay, y'all, I'm so excited to introduce y'all to my sweet friend, Jenna Johnston. She is like the best, the funniest, most encouraging person. She makes me laugh. This will probably be one of our funniest podcasts because she's about as good as it gets. So, let me tell y'all a little bit about Jenna. I met her in college. We were orientation leaders together and did quite a few shenanigans when we did that. Somehow they hired us. Somehow they hired us to do that. And within the first night, they called us the lion and the lamb because they said Jenna was going to corrupt me. And now I feel like I corrupt people. So I feel like
I passed it down.
Yes, you passed it down. Maybe not as much as you, but I still try. I've come a long way since you started the corruption. But we had so much fun being orientation leaders together. That was like the time of my life. And we can kind of talk about that. But like preparing for this a little bit, I was like trying to remember. I mean, that all feels like so long ago.
Like it was
so long ago. But I was like remembering, you know, we did presents and we kept getting in trouble for doing that what was that friendship song? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like where you sway.
We swayed and we like overdid it. And I still remember your mom made you make a new tie-dye shirt each time. She was like, I don't like that one. Switch it out. It's like this like variety show, basically. I would say
that. You know that my mom, okay, so my mom's a bit of a control freak, and she's for sure going to watch this, but, so she always was like, would tell me what to wear. She fixed my hair, like, until I would say in high school, she was fixing my hair every morning just because she likes it, like, just a certain way. Like, my hair right now is for sure going to set her off.
It looks great.
It doesn't, like there's flaws in it and she knows them. So she was always like crazy about that and about what I wore. She's a big shopper. So like whenever I went to college, my freshman year, I would, have to send her pictures of what I was wearing out. And then like, if she didn't like it, I would change. But what she doesn't know is like, I would still wear the more risque of the after we got off the phone. But yeah, so she
looks back on some of the stuff we wore in college and you're like, ugh.
I think back. Yeah, for sure.
But it's nothing like the raunchy these days. I mean, what girls wear these days? I can't.
It's something.
Let's just say I wouldn't have fit in. I would have been a total weirdo. I mean, I was a weirdo, but like I would have been
right
to the extreme.
Yeah.
What was the name of your orientation?
Jenna's Jazzy Dogs.
I was Tori's Talkative Texters. Not much has changed. No, that was so fun. And I loved it. And it was so fun. Of course, funny memories. So anyways, let's go ahead and get started. I want everyone to kind of meet you. So tell us all the things about yourself and a funny story or memory in your life to break the ice a little bit.
Okay. I am Jenna. I am 31. I'm a teacher. I live in Benton, Louisiana, which is close to Shreveport for people who are not from here. I teach dance at Biggie School of Dance in Shreveport. We have like a Bossier location and a Shreveport location. And I help run the Shreveport location. It's just me and my dog that has been annoying me this entire time already. And that's about it.
What's your dog's name?
Bentley.
I love that, Bentley. Well, you know, I love my puppy, Louie.
Yes.
More than life.
Yes.
Health. But he's on a walk right now. But yeah, he usually sits in my lap during this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us a funny story. You have so many funny stories.
People think that, like, my life is so, like, interesting and, like, I guess it appears more exciting than it is because, like, I'm a homebody. Like, I like to be at home. I watch my murder shows. I like to, like, get takeout. I like friends to come over here. Like, my life is not that interesting. So, if cameras really did follow me around, they would be like, you are seriously lame.
Is but you have interesting things happen to you.
Yeah, they do.
You do shenanigans.
Yeah, like, I prank people on the
road. What's your best prank?
I say prank, but really I just, like, make up random lies. That I, you know, tell people night before last. No, I can't believe I'm saying this. Night before last, I got the idea to just start going through different drive-thrus around town, and whenever they ask, like, can I help you or whatever, just, like, pretty much, like, unloading on them, like, being like, great that you asked. My husband just left me for my sister who... has never even liked men before, you know, like, just making up, like, just madness.
Are they
just,
like, what the heck?
Yeah. Then the next one, I'd be like, I honestly just don't know what to do. Like, I just took a pregnancy test. There are at least 6 people who could be the father. And what would you do? You know, like,
the response
is not right, you know?
Okay, so I want you to tell them my favorite story about you.
So we were hiding in the dorm room, like, to keep from having to help people unload because it was so hot. It was like 185 degrees.
So hot. And we were
having
fun.
They wanted us, like, toting their luggage up and down stairs. Like,
my excuse is I have a bad back. That ain't happening.
Okay, well, I don't have a bad back, but, like, I'm not in any kind of shape to be doing in that kind of heat, you know? So, we were hiding out, and I can't remember what we were talking about. Honestly, there's really no telling, but we just got really, really tickled, and I already knew and told them I really needed to pee, but they kept telling me, like, you can't go out there to pee because then they're going to know that we're in here. And they're like, you just have to hold it. And I'm like, I'll try, but, like, I have to pee, y'all. So we're talking about something, and I got really, really tickled, and I just drizzled on myself a little bit. And I look at them, and I'm like, y'all, I've just
the size of, like, a quarter.
Yeah, I'm like, I've just drizzled in my panties a little bit. And
she's wearing khaki shorts.
Khaki shorts, not by choice. That was our uniform we had to wear. Just FYI. And so I show them, I'm like, okay, so it's shown a little bit on the khaki shorts, like quarter size on the khaki shorts. So no one would probably notice. But I'm like, Hannah, the other girl who's in there.
We had to go on stage after that or something.
Yeah. So, like, we're about to be seen. So I'm like, you have to, like, blow dry this. Just, like, put it on cool and blow dry. Well, cool wasn't blow drying it fast enough. And so
we were in a hurry. I remember
that. Like, we had to go. And she switches it to hot. Keep in mind, I still have not emptied my bladder yet. Okay. I only drizzled. So when she switches it to hot, I lose all control and just pee everywhere. Like,
it's dripping.
I'm telling you, I had to, like, wring those couches out.
Yeah. So tell them what you wore.
So I had to wear, like, our jersey that we had on. We were wearing, like, a jersey and khakis. I had to go out there in pajama pants. And it was 180 degrees.
And we didn't tell them that any of this had happened. So you just walked straight out, and they were, like, looking like, Is this a joke? Like, is it? And then
I was wearing like flannel pajama pants. So I think they were Grinch pajama pants.
Cheers to the Grinch, because I will never forget that. I mean, that to me was worth all of it. I mean,
yeah.
Orientation leader was the funnest thing, but that to me tops all the Jenna stories, and we could go on forever. So. Okay, so you talked about watching murder shows. I love murder shows. Dateline's like my favorite show, and all the Netflix shows, 2020, everything like that. So what are you binging? What are you watching?
Okay, so I watch, well, I'll just tell you like some of my favorites. One, I fall asleep to The Office every single night. That is like hands down my favorite show.
I wish I could Office. I'm not funny like that.
Okay, well, it, like, I mean, I've seen every episode probably.
I wish I was funny like that. I'm not funny.
You are funny, but it is a different kind of funny.
It is a different kind of funny.
It is. But, like, it's hilarious to me, and it's, like, such a joy, and it's a comfort. Like, I saw something that said, like, the people who rewatch shows or whatever, like, that's a way of, like, dealing with, like, anxiety and like depression, because it's predictable and you don't have to, you know. And I'm like, that's so true. That's why I do this. Like, it's just so nice to like turn that on and I don't think about anything. So like, that is always and forever like my number one show. But did you watch Dead to Me on Netflix? I loved that.
I watched it. I never finished it. I need to finish it.
Okay, it's good. I love Breaking Bad. I love Ozark.
I started Ozark and I was so confused, and I asked Josh 17,000 questions because
I can only imagine your questions.
I was so confused, and he was like, I think I'm gonna take this one on my own.
Yeah. He's like, no, you go watch something there.
Well, you're known for your bachelor rants.
Yeah.
I also am known for my bachelor rants.
Right.
Have you been watching the greatest of all time seasons that they've had?
No. And honestly, I haven't watched the past probably, well, I'll tell you, I haven't really kept up with The Bachelor the last 2 years since the Shreveport like dance studio opened, because I was always teaching dance on Monday nights whenever they came on. And like whenever I would vlog or whatever, make my videos and stuff about The Bachelor, it was like whenever I was watching it live, you know what I mean? Like I would record myself doing some stupid Snapchat thing like while I was watching it live. Whereas like once I started teaching dance on Monday nights, it would sometimes be like 3 or 4 days before I watched it, and then it's like irrelevant, you know?
But your rants were the best, so you need to get back to doing that, because we the people are all missing it. If y'all don't follow Jenna, if y'all aren't friends with her on Facebook, you are missing out. Because she puts the funniest stuff. I mean, like, random text messages. I mean, random videos. It just kills me. Okay, so one time you were actually the Bachelorette. Will you tell everyone about the time you were the Bachelorette at Sonic?
Okay, so one of my childhood best friends, still one of my best friends, Shannon Walker, her family owns several Sonics in the area and around our area. And her uncle, Paul, started this series called The Sonic Guy, where he would like try out Sonic's new like monthly promo, whatever it is.
And I heard everybody was watching it. Like, it was a big
thing. Like, he really did have like a lot of views and stuff on him. And he's just a funny guy. Like, he's a cool person. He's good on camera. He can like talk to anybody. So he's good at that. Like, I would be super awkward, but he is really, really good at that. And so after I saw like his first episode, I was like, oh my God, I've got to be on one of these. Like, it's on. Like, I'm going to be on. I told Shannon's mom, I was like, tell Uncle Paul, like, I need to be on one of his episodes. Like, that's one of my goals for 2019.
So people find that, like, on Facebook, or where is it on?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on Facebook, and he has YouTube and Instagram. So he's on all of
it's like a big old thing.
Oh, it's a thing. And it's called The Sonic Guy, and his name's Paul Reeser. You're welcome, Paul, for that plug. Anyways, so I told him, like, I want to be on one of your episodes. Like, I think they're awesome. I think they're fun to watch, whatever. I'm going to be on one of your episodes, and I'm going to get married in 2019. Keep in mind, it's 2020 now, and I'm still not married, so y'all can see how that worked out. But so he's like, yeah, like, I would love that. So we go, I go and meet him at the Sonic office, and it's in the summertime. This is last summer. I'm thinking that I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to meet with him, and he's going to say, hey, we're going to try out this new burger or whatever, you know, tots. And I'm just going to ask you a few questions. Well, I get there and I'm like walked into this big conference room with like six people around the table. And I'm like, what? Uncle Paul, like, how are you going to do me like this? Like, I didn't know this was, like, a meeting. Like, I thought we were just chit-chatting. He was like, it's fine. And, you know, everybody was cool. I knew several of them because they were Shannon's family, too. And then a few of them were new. But then he tells me, like, his plan. We think it would be awesome to do, like, a Sonic Bachelor, like, you know, kind of playoff of that. Where you could actually go on a date or several dates at Sonic trying these new things. And I'm
like, was it like for real or a joke?
For real.
I watched it. I'm going to put it on. I'm going to link it for everyone to see it because it's that good.
Yeah. So I was on two episodes of that. Like the first one was really me talking. We were trying out different slushes, and it was me talking about being single, and then at the end is whenever he, you know, says like, she's gonna be back on the next episode, we need your help to find, you know, these people. Well, spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen it, it did not end in love.
Spoiler alert.
No hard feelings, but it just didn't work out, you know, so here we are.
Well, that's all right. But, so what's your favorite Sonic drink? Since you've like apparently tried everything at Sonic with all your episodes.
I don't do anything fancy. I drink Coke, like real Coke. I know it's terrible.
That's my favorite Coke drink. Coke changes everything. I tell everyone any problem you have, drink a Coke.
It's the best. So I get a Coke, large Coke, extra ice. Cause I like to chomp on ice for a while.
I love their ice.
Gone. Yeah,
I don't like drink when people don't get ice in their drinks. I don't really understand it. I've never understood that. I'm such an ice girl. I want one of those Sonic ice machines at your house.
Me too.
I'm gonna figure out a way to get that. I don't know where I'm gonna put that, but I'm gonna find a way to get that. So
yeah.
Okay, so talking about being single, obviously you thought you were going to get married in 2019, and now it's 2020, which is totally fine. I have always found you to be, like, so joyful about, you know, the seasons of life you're in, even though it's not exactly what you had planned or what you had hoped. So talk to us about, you know, the struggles of being single, but also the joys of being single. Before I met my husband, I was single for, I guess, 4 or 5 years. And I found a lot of joy in that. But I know that there's always that season of waiting and season of wanting. And everyone's in a season of waiting in some sort of, you know, way. So how is it being single and still in your town and all of that? And I know people always want to set you up. And how does that all work for you?
Okay, so as far back as I can remember, I always, like, want my life plan was like I was going to graduate college and at 22, which I did. And then that was one thing.
You did it.
One check mark. Okay. I graduated college. I wanted to get married right after that. And I wanted to start popping out children and I would be done having kids by the time I was 30. Like, that was my.
Oh.
Yeah. And like, I remember. Like thinking that like my freshman year of high school, even like I remember thinking like that has to happen, you know? And then as, I've gotten older, obviously I graduated college and, I wasn't dating anybody. And, a lot of my friends started to get married. And that's something Tori knows. I have been in 26 weddings.
Okay, 26. I wondered your number. I'm at 15. So you have me beat by a lot.
26
weddings. Wait, 16. I've been in 16. I counted. 16.
So 10. I have you beat by 10.
That's a lot of weddings.
It is. It is. But, like, I would not take back any of them or, like, trade that time for anything. It's just there's nothing better than getting to, like, be a part of someone who you love so much, marrying someone that they love so much. And I love everything about love and weddings and all of that. And so, I mean, my friends getting married never made me like bitter or jealous even. It's obviously something that I want. And I've always wanted, and I will always for sure. Like that is, I feel like a big desire of my heart. I don't know. Like, I don't feel like my life is like empty because I'm not married or anything. Whenever I was probably 25, I read this book called Better Single Than Sorry. It had like come across on like Instagram or something at the time. I like clicked on it and ordered it. And it pretty much is talking about like when it would be easy just to like settle, like because say like all of your friends are getting married and you're not in the going out stage anymore, or you're, you know, whatever it is, like it would be very easy just to, you know, settle just so you can be married and, you know, get on with your life. Because I think most people think of it as like your life is like on hold until you're married or until you have babies or until whatever it is that they have in their mind for you, where that's not the case. Like, I don't feel that way at all. Of course, like it is a major desire of my heart. So is having babies. Like, I want that more than anything. Like, I feel like I was like created to be a mom. Like, I feel like that is like a purpose of mine. And I've always felt maternal. I love kids. I love everybody's kids. I mean, I really do. So anyways, back to that book. The book pretty much just taught me a long time ago, you can like put in your head because of social media or what people are saying or whatever, that like life is so much better. Like these people are living like this great, like made for television movie type of life. Because they're married, because that's how it's like portrayed on there. But what you don't see is the argument they got into on the way to that party and her crying herself to sleep that night because he didn't make it right before they went to bed, or that they're struggling with finances or whatever it is. Like, just because these people have something that you want doesn't mean that like what they have is perfect or that they don't even envy you in several ways, because the book is pretty much written from like different points of view. But one of them being like from a girl who was in an unhealthy, unhappy relationship at the time, saying like, I did envy my single friends whenever I was in those type of relations, like in that type of relationship.
You hear that really often. You really do more than you would realize.
Right. I think that social media is a big, big part of it. It really can make you feel like you're missing out on something. And it feels like, and I feel like that's a way, I know for me, like that's a way that the devil attacks me, is like he will like throw something out there on social media that the person who posted it never intended in a million years that it would hurt me or that it would make me feel any type of way, but it does. And so it's like, I just think that's like the devil's work. I think that seeing people like portray their like perfect lives is, it can be like very detrimental if you don't keep things into perspective, knowing like, okay, yes, like their life seems so great, but what's really going on? Like when she's not posting on Facebook, I'm sure people look at my Facebook and think she's so fun. Like she just has fun all the time. Funny stuff happens to her, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it does. Like those things are very much real and I wouldn't share it if they weren't. But like, that doesn't mean that I don't have struggles. I don't go and like post on Facebook, like having a really rough day. But what I do is I know those like really great true friends that I have that I can call or send a text to that just says like, will you please like say a prayer for me tonight? Like I'm really struggling with whatever it is. Like it could be, I'm really super stressed out about this, about something going on at school or about this child in my class or about this COVID stuff, you know, like that's completely rocked everyone's world or whatever it is. Totally. Like there are some nights where I'm super lonely and I feel comfortable enough in like my real relationships to say like, I'm struggling with this. Like, I want you know what I mean? Like, I want you to like keep an eye on this and don't let it get out of hand. You know what I mean? Like, don't let me linger on this more than like tonight, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing all that because I find that so encouraging. I mean, obviously you're like one of the most loved people, Jen. I mean, you've been in 26 weddings and you really are somebody that people want to be around. And one of the things I have found the coolest about you is that you really do find the joy even when you're not in the season of life that you always hoped. I know for me, I recently, you know, turned 30. And when I looked back at the past 10 years, like I really did reflecting the past few months of like, there was nothing that I expected. I mean, truly, right. Like not one thing happened that I would have ever predicted. And I feel like that's really common, but we just don't talk about that. We just feel like everyone is like living this fancy life of this perfect kids and this perfect situation. And it really isn't like that. Like I think back to all the things I've gone through, but one of the things I think that's been so cool is that you are such a good friend to others and you love their kids and like put yourselves in their lives. And so for the people that are like waiting or single, what would be your biggest advice to someone like that, that is really kind of in the struggle of the timeline that they're being given?
Well, one, I would say like biggest thing is surround yourself with people who are going to like keep you focused on what's right, who are going to hold you accountable for going to church. Cause when you live by yourself, you're not in your parents' house, you're not married or anything, no one's really here to say like, hey, we're going to church in the morning or, you know, whatever it is. Like I have those conversations with myself, you know? So surrounding myself with people who, do like hold me accountable and, keep me focused on things that are important. Like me finding a man should not and will never be my main focus in life. Like, do I want it? Absolutely. But like, am I going to sacrifice all the good things that are happening in my life just because I'm single? Like, no, my life is not.
That's what I love about you.
Yeah. My life is not on hold. I know that I'm getting up there in age. I'll be 32 and
you are not getting up there because then that means I'm getting up there. You're not getting up
there. We kind of are. So, but still, like, it doesn't change anything. I do all of my friends, like, I have maybe two single friends, maybe. And I say single, like they still like hang out with people. They're just not married. Most of my friends are married with kids. And I would say I'm a part of any of my kids who live in, not my kids, any of my friends' kids.
But see, I love that you call them your kids because that's how much you love them.
Oh, I do. They are like the closest. I mean, my niece and nephew, of course, are like my, you know, babies forever and always. But like my best friend's kids are also nieces and nephews to me. And I don't know. I get to be around kids. I get to see things. And this is not anything like to throw shade on anybody because it's not. But, like I get to see good and bad things that in marriage from my friends that I want and don't want. Whereas my friends who got married whenever they were 22, they were the first ones to get married. And they're really the ones who have like shown, you know what I mean? Like I've seen their marriage go through all these different things, whereas the way their husband reacts to something in a way that, like, I would be like, that would break my heart. Like, that would hurt my feelings so bad. And if that didn't happen to my friend and she didn't tell me that, I wouldn't know that that was something that was important to me, if that makes sense. So it really helps me, you know, just kind of get even more picky than I already am, and just like finding things that are important to me. And like, I don't feel like I have any like crazy standards. Like, I want a hardworking, loyal person who puts family first and is the spiritual leader of my home. And I feel like that's not asking too much. You know what I mean? Like, I agree. All my friends say like I'm super picky, and I'm not. Like, I can be petty sometimes, like a little bit.
We all can be.
You know what I mean? Like cargo shorts, really. But then it's like, if I was really in love with someone,
who cares?
Super good to me, and I don't care if he has cargo shorts on. Like, I really,
you rock those cargo shorts. Yeah, you know, that's one thing. As I've gotten married, I've realized, you know, the things that you think would be a big deal just aren't. But one thing I think is cool is, you know, growing up, my parents got married young. I mean, they started dating when they were 15, 16, and they got married young, but they never pushed us to. And my dad always would say, there's no rush to find a man. You'd rather be single than married to an idiot. Mm-hmm. And everyone's love story is different. I mean, some of the happiest people I know didn't meet till they were 45. And some of the happiest people I know met at 12. I mean, you just don't know. And I always think, like, my husband and I talk about this all the time. If we would have met a few years before, would we have ever dated and got married? I don't know. And we both don't know that, because we grew so much in those few years. I mean, like, is that what we would have wanted at that time? And I think that's where you grow. And so I think that's really cool and encouraging to so many people that are like, and I think what's neat is you don't let that define your life. And that is one thing I've always admired about you, is like, you do not let that define your life. You do you, you do your dance classes, you do your shenanigans, you hang out with your friends, you make your part of life. But I do appreciate you just being honest that it is lonely and there are times of loneliness. But one thing I think is crazy is people that are living the dream. So, quote unquote, you would say, of like having that all American family that we all want, those people can be some of the loneliest people too. The devil attacks, and he attacks, I think one of the things he attacks the biggest, especially I think in seasons like now, is just loneliness. Even when you feel like you have it all, loneliness is hard. And
I feel like he's been winning a lot with a lot of people in quarantine, just because you were isolated for so long. And if you're single like me, which, I mean, I've read several things, like, about marriages, like, about how our divorce rates really have skyrocketed since COVID. Like, with...
I heard that, too, which is awful.
It really is. And, like, to me, like, that's the devil. So, a podcast, actually, that I listen to, it's not actually a podcast, it's a church service that they, you know, record for a podcast or whatever.
Which one is it?
Voo Church.
Voo Church, that's kind of
like VOUS. Okay, so they're really cool. They had a show like a couple years back. I don't remember what network it was on, but it was called Rich in Love, and that's the husband's name is Rich Wilkerson, and he married Dawn Cherie Wilkerson, who's actually from Shreveport. She was a Duron, and so like I got obsessed with them on that show. And so the show was about them starting their church that they went and planted in Miami. And so I've been like following them since then. And like one of my favorite, I guess, messages that the wife, Dawn Cherie, gave, and it's been a few months ago, and it was when I really, really needed to hear it. It was one morning I was getting ready. I usually will listen while I'm like getting ready for work or when I just need to get my mind right. And so I was listening, and it's talking about like when the devil is attacking you, and you're getting all of these voices. And it's not like, I don't mean like I have devils inside of my head for anyone who's concerned right now. I just mean like you have like your haters or whatever it is. I don't really say haters because I'm too old for that. But like,
you know, they are the haters
who don't like you, who say ugly things about you, or who will just like hurt your feelings, whatever it is. Like, and I have a problem with letting like those who one little negative thing like resonate in my brain over
and it
all
just, like boom, but it like constant is how I get. So
it was like she was saying you can't, God can't be like the loudest voice in your head if you're not drowning out all other noise. So like pretty much like you have to make a conscious effort to like shut that off, like have like sacred time in the morning or in the evening, whenever it is that like your phone is in another room. No one can reach you. Like it is just like you and God. And you have that time where your spiritual health is just as important as your mental health or your physical health or anything. Like that is so important. And I know when my life starts getting wonky, it's because my spiritual life isn't right. And I haven't been spending like my quiet time. I haven't been setting aside that time because life can get so busy. And when life gets that busy and hectic, those are all the voices that you hear. So like you have to, and it's hard for me. It really is. But you have to make like a conscious effort to shut everything and everyone else off. Like whatever it is, and it can even be like a positive thing, like your husband or your kids, whatever it is, like shut it off. Like it's just a, you know, like protected time of just you and God. Like with, if you're doing your Bible study, if you're journaling, whatever it is, but like if you're not making that a priority to let him in and let his voice like be heard, then yeah, like all of these other voices are going to be the ones that you, you know, that resonate with you, which is so true. Like I have really, really found that to be true. And like when my life is not right, it's because I have not shut out all of the other, you know, craziness.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's one thing I've been trying to work on. So one thing I started doing was I do a gratitude journal every night, and I just started this about 2 months ago, and it has been like the biggest game changer because I'll write down like I like snuggles with my dog, ate salmon for dinner, talked to so-and-so, but it's like before I never thought about those things,
right?
To get my mind in like more of like a thankful heart rather than at the end of the day, I'm like, what's coming tomorrow? You know, like,
yeah,
woo, I made it. Instead of being like, wow, that was really fun. So you'll be on my gratitude journal today.
Check. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think that's awesome. Do you have any funny dating stories? I always want to set you up and do the thing. Do you have like any like funny dating stories or like dating, like rules or priorities or like standards or anything like that?
Funny dating stories? Not really, because I don't date a lot.
Even if you don't date a lot, even if you've, like, I tell people, I'm like, even if you've been on one or two dates, there is some kind of funny story that you can share. Well, my little philosophy that I always tell my friends is I always lived by three and then we'll see. The first date's always weird. I'm weird. They're weird. The second day, you're like, let's like figure it out. Well, the porcupine thing that you just said, I mean, that may have been, no, we'll see. I don't know. And then the three is like, okay, either let's move on or let's not. So I love that. And I just love your positive attitude about all of it. So moving forward a little bit, you're like the world's ultimate teacher. You do like all these fun songs and dances and all the cool things. So will you tell us about Teach It in the pandemic? I mean, is it like so crazy, whacked out? Like what is the deal with that?
15 students like in my class, and then I have 6 virtual students.
You have to do both?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So it's a lot.
I can't imagine.
I'll say every year teaching for me, this is my 10th year. Every year has been different. Just with standards have changed. I've changed grade levels. Like who my teaching partner was changed. Like, different things have changed every year, but this has definitely been the biggest change. Like, just, it's just been the weirdest year ever.
And you're such a hugger and loving on your kids. Has that been hard?
Yeah, it's rough. So it's hard. I still will sometimes, you know, break the rules if someone's like, you know, like crying, like having a really rough day and they miss their
mom.
How
do you not hug them?
I have to. Okay, I'm sorry. Whoever's listening to this, I shouldn't be saying that.
You're the world. You're safe on your job. So do you have to wear the shield and the mask?
I wear a mask. Okay. And
the students have to wear a mask.
My students don't. So older grades do, like third and up. But I teach first grade, and only I have to wear a mask all day. I have a few kids who do, like, by choice or by parents' choice, but they don't have to. The little ones don't.
So you're also a dance teacher. Has that been different with the pandemic, or how is that looking? And what's your favorite part of being a dance teacher?
I've been dancing since I was three. Like, I started Vicky's, and I actually started dance. Most people don't know this. I started dance when I was three because my left foot, like, turned in. So, like, my feet were like this. And my mom, of course, being the warrior that she is, takes me to the doctor. And the doctor's like, she may have to have surgery, but try dance first and see if that helps. Sometimes it can, like, self-correct with, like, the right dance instruction. And so my mom put me in Vicky's whenever I was three, and I never stopped. I danced for 15 years. Then I went to college, and I didn't dance in college. I just wanted a break. I wanted to just, you know, just do school and sorority and all that. Anyways, then when I moved back to town after I graduated and I started teaching school, Vicky asked me if I wanted to teach dance. So then I would help out at the Bossier studio after school, you know, and then they decided to open a Shreveport studio and put me as like the lead teacher 2 years ago. And it's been a really great thing. I love all of my kids. I can say this just because, who cares? Before,
tell us everything.
Two-year-olds were not really my jam. If I had to, or before the Shreveport studio opened, so like when the Bossier, when I would help out at the Bossier studio, and like when I say help out, like I mean like I was like assisting them teaching dance whenever I was.
But now you are.
Teacher. Yes, now I'm the teacher. I love teaching dance. I love all of those babies. It definitely changed whenever COVID hit because we went from in-person dance classes where, I mean, I would have some classes could have 20 girls in it, and I take roll at the beginning of every dance class for like the first like three-ish minutes. Like I take roll, and they will like come swarm to me and sit in my lap, and they play with my hair, and they, you know, they want to play with my earrings and tell me that my lipstick is beautiful, and they notice everything. I can have like a new scratch on my arm or something, and they know, you know, or different nails or whatever. They notice everything, and then everything got shut down. Like it was insane. I was on spring break, so already wasn't teaching dance that week, and then made it to where we couldn't have groups of 10 or more. Well, that is dance. So anyways, then we started doing classes on Zoom, and Zoom has been like the biggest blessing to me, in my opinion.
I've been living on Zoom.
I did Zoom with my classroom students and with dance kids, and I think it was just a way of a little bit of normalcy, like getting to see the faces that you miss, and you know, like with dance on Zoom, they're still getting to do their dances and the fun little things.
So would you get up and do like the moves for them?
So there were two different like Zoom classes. The ones that I was doing was them practicing the recital dance.
You know, some of our listeners will have little girls or older girls or soon to be moms or one day. Do you think dance is a great thing for them to put their girls in? What are the best parts of that for a girl? Because I did dance for 7 years. I was not as talented nearly as you. I did it like little up to like the end of elementary school. So it was just different because I didn't do it my whole life.
Yeah, I think it's super important. But here's my thing. I'm a dancer, and so dance is what I love and what I responded to and what I encourage people to also do. But whenever I'm talking about dance, I'm really talking about any kind of extracurricular outside of school, because I think it is different, like baseball or football or softball or soccer or gymnastics or tumbling or cheer or whatever it is. I think it's super important. One, as a little girl, I know, like, I teach my little girls to love themselves. I'm like, oh, girls, I need you to show me your prettiest, biggest smile in the mirror right now.
You probably make them feel so pretty.
Okay, so like that is something super important to me whenever they're little, is just building up that confidence.
Like, early.
Oh, girl, get it. Yes. Like, you know, when they really start to like get it, like I can be cracking up inside, but like I am like lighting them up. Like I am like girl, you know? And I think it's so important to do that for young girls. Like I really, really do. So
especially
as dance goes. Yes, absolutely. And just helping we dance to all kinds of music and appropriate music. Don't get me wrong. but we just have fun. And then I think it's also so important as they get older to give them stuff to work towards. Like to say, like, I want to get my, like in dance, I want to get my triple turn, or I want to get both of my splits, or I want to do blah, blah, blah. And then, like, hold your kid accountable for that. Like, they're going to be tired after school and not want to go to practice sometimes. Still make them go. Or they're going to have a lot going on with school and practice is going to come up. And that's the time to teach them that, yes, school is most important, but you're not going to be on a one-track thing your whole life. Like, you're going to have life going on and other things are going to come up. So, like, teach them to be adaptable and to be able to handle stressful situations. Like, I know in high school, like, my senior year, like, just because I feel like that was my busiest, I was dance line. I was captain of the dance line. I was president of the FCA. I was senior class vice president. I danced at Vicky's. And then I was just, like, a normal student on top of that. So, obviously, I had all different places to be all the time. And, like, did I want to go to all of them always? For sure, no. Like, I cussed out coaches in my head multiple times.
But you know what? That's why you were successful now. Because,
yeah.
And, you know, my parents always encourage that. Okay, so to end this interview and chit-chat, thanks so much, Jenna, for talking to us. It's been so much fun. I want you to tell everyone your current top three favorites, must-haves, recommendations, anything that all the people need to know about that you're really feeling these days.
Okay, so book, I can tell you, I don't have a copy of it here because I loaned it to a friend who's reading it right now. But it's called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. If you haven't read it.
Wait, I've heard of that. Did Jenny Allen write that?
No, it's Lisa Turkhurst, I think.
Yes. Okay.
And it's really good. It's kind of a lot about what we've been talking about, like pretty much when life is not supposed to be the way that it is, but it is. You know, like, this wasn't the way that you had planned, but it is your life. Like, this is what's happening. And, like,
I think I read it.
It's great.
It's really, really good. And it's about her story about her husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Everyone needs to see that.
There's a great, she has a free Bible study that goes along with it, like from her, I guess it's through her website. I don't know. My aunt sent it to me a while back. And so like the second time I read it, I did it with the Bible study. And it was like a video Bible study, which I like just because I like to, like, I can like sit in the bathtub and turn my speaker on and I can listen while, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that would be my number one book. Number two, well, this is like my favorite scent for my house.
Yeah.
My car. People always tell me my car smells so good, like whenever I roll down my window or open my door, and it's Bridgewater Candle Company, but the scent is called Sweet Grace. So okay. Like I have all of their stuff. Like this is a Sweet Grace candle. Oh, look how cute. Like that has my initials on it. Wow. Shout out to, Tracy Behringer.
Hey girl. Hey Tracy.
I'll have to tell her to watch this. Oh, look, this thing is Sweet Grace.
Okay. So what is it?
Sitting around my living room right now, y'all. I don't have these things. Like I'm not like a influencer by any means. Like these are literally already by me.
This is it. This is us just saying our favorite, because this is literally how I learn stuff. So like, what does it smell like? What would you compare?
There's nothing that I can compare it to. It's not, I wouldn't say it's not fruity. It's not spicy. Okay. It is just like the best smell in the world. This is like a oil diffuser. So like it's pretty much empty, but y'all, it still smells. So like
called it up this pretty diffuser, y'all.
Y'all all need to order it. And you can, if you're local, like to me, I get all of mine from Give Me Three. They also have like a Facebook.
Shout out.
Whatever. Shout out. It's the cutest store in the whole wide world. So if you haven't looked at it, you should. But so this is one of my, so Sweet Grace, that scent, anything in that is like one of my favorite things. And then this last thing is something that my mom gave me from like her Clinique for gift. So it's called Clinique Moisture Surge Lip Hydro Plump Treatment. And don't let the word plump scare you. Like it's not it's not like one of those tingly things that makes your lips like swell or anything. I already have big lips.
Yes, you're one of the lucky ones.
This, I put it on before bed. This has probably been a week ago that I first tried it, and my mom gave it to me, like, it's been a few months. Anyways, but I finally tried it, and, like, I put it on before bed, like, after I washed my face, and I washed it with Rodan Fields.
Which one? Which color?
Blue.
Redefine.
Yep.
It's like a clay mask.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then you put on your lips.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I put this Clinique stuff on after that. And when I woke up the next morning, like, I still could, like, rub my lips together. And, like, there was still stuff there. And my lipstick, like, I wear, like, lip liner. And, like, my lips for, like, makeup-wise, I wear lip liner. And then I typically wear, like, a liquid lipstick that's, like, matte. But having that on my lips, like whenever I put it on, made my like lipstick look so much better. And then I actually like topped it off with that. And I'm telling you, my lips stayed moisturized and like they look the exact same like all day long. Even like I was teaching with my mask on. Like, so it really does like hold that moisture. So it's called
to try that stuff. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's good. So Clinique Lip Hydro Plump Treatment. You can pay me and I'll start talking about this on Facebook if you'd like.
Well, Jenna, I'm so glad that you came on the show, and you're just such an encouragement and always bring so much joy to people, and just you always feel like family to everyone you meet. And so I'm super excited for everyone to get to hear from you, learn from you, feel encouraged, and you're so relatable with your story. So I appreciate you being vulnerable and being open and really just sharing all the things with us. So
you're so welcome. You're making me blush, but I had fun.
Blush it, girl. I had so much fun. I'm glad we got to catch up.
Me too.
Okay. Well, I will chat with you later. So chat soon, Jenna, and hope y'all enjoyed it.
All right. Bye, Tori.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
If our episode today touched you, inspired you, or brought you some good laughs, we would be honored if you subscribe to the Talk with Tori podcast and left us a quick review. This will give others who are scrolling through the podcast apps the ability to find us. Please share this with all the people in your life so more friends can hear our stories. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope this episode brought you joy, love, and spice.